So hello everyone and welcome. We are here again. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space for another week of our unfolding turning towards life conversation. And Lizzie, it's so good to be in your presence again. And welcome everyone. However it is that you're joining us, you might be on a podcast or on YouTube or live with us on Facebook or who knows where or when you're listening. You're so welcome to be with us. It's always a joy to begin this conversation. Lizzie, I think we say it in one way or another every week. But also I was reflecting today as I was on my way back this morning, ready for our conversation. I was thinking, it's been almost 5 years that we've been in this conversation. And I still begin every week feeling like it's really new. Yeah. And I sort of do and I don't know what to do. And I love that feeling. I love that feeling of it being ordinary, but also not ordinary, and certainly not like rote or humdrum or predictable or something like that. So I'm feeling very grateful for you and for us and for everyone this morning that we can keep on doing something that stays really alive and sort of in one way really safe and in the other way really on the edge of things all the time.
I love it that you say that, Justin. I totally feel the same, but I didn't know I felt that till you said it. Like, it always feels exciting to me. So now I've never thought, oh God, I've never thought, oh God, I've got to do turning towards life. Like, it's just never happened. And most of the things that happens with, you know, no matter what it is, there's always something, but this doesn't feel like that. It feels, whenever you tell me the time or the number of episodes, I always feel shocked because it feels like about number three or something. Because it really does have a quality of brand newness inside of it, because we're doing something different every time in terms of the source and where the conversation leads. And there must be threads and themes and all of the commonalities between the conversations that maybe other people can hear and feel better than we can. But I always feel new in it and ready and alert and not knowing what's coming. So I'm really grateful that you said that. And I'm also especially grateful today because we have this lovely source from my extraordinarily excellent sister. And I'm lucky enough to have a proper poet as a sister, as well as many other things she is. And this poem came, by the way, I'm just having a moment of realizing just how disheveled I was last week, Justin, because I'd completely overslept and completely forgotten about my whole life, basically, because we were on holiday. And I got the weekly email. By the way, everybody, you can sign up to receive this weekly in your email box if it's easier that way. And I receive it because I need it too. And I looked at it and there's like a screenshot of us. And I feel like I literally had just got out of bed. So I'm just slightly amused at myself because today I actually did have a shower and did my normal things before I got here. I'm having a moment of realizing how disheveled I was last week. So anyway, if you're listening for the first time this week, go back last week and you can see just how disheveled I am and how I can't really see anything because the sun is so bright and my organization is clearly lacking. Anyway, I'm just laughing at myself about that. But while we were there, Holly, my sister, sent me this poem. And she was in Scotland, I think. Well, I know she was in Scotland at the time. I was just wondering whether she'd sent it when she got home, but I think she was still there at the time, near to the river where she was sitting, where she wrote this. And I know the river. And I felt so kind of breathed back into, in terms of life flowing back through me again when I read it. So I wanted to bring it for us here and see where it led us in this conversation, Justin. So I want to just say thank you to Holly for being a person who sits there while she's in her life in any moment and bringing this to the world by writing a poem. So here we go. It's called Soft Again. Soft Again. I am determined not to let these bold, feathery trees, with their fancy display of greens and wind blowing gently through their branches, pull me back from the swirling thoughts in my head. And this sunshine will not thaw the brittleness of my heart in this moment. I'm determined not to let its warmth slip through my defences and into my bones. I'm in a grumpy, ungenerous, grey-coloured mood, and I'm going to stay that way. The relentless push and liveliness of the river flowing past me will not gently pick up my worries and carry them downstream. I'm determined, you see, to hold on to my position, to maintain this stuckness, to keep myself rooted right here. The clouds drifting above my head, combined with the blue of the wide sky, will not, I repeat, will not take any of my breath away. I'm going to sit here in this nearly comfortable camping chair and hold on tight. I'm not going to be moved or softened. I have every right to work with all my might against these bright forces that are trying to melt me, to reach me, to remind me and bring me home. Like the rock that stands still at the bend of the river, I will not be moved. But, oh dear, now my children are jumping off a rock into the silky water of the river. They're full of courage and delight, and they're letting out whoops of yes towards the water below them as they push themselves forward through the air. And my plan begins to crumble. With every whoop, my determination is less rock-like and more like the small branch that is being swept away downstream and around the next corner beyond which I cannot see. They've won again, all of them conspiring against me. The trees, the water, the clouds, the sun, and now the babies I gave birth to, who sit at the centre of my life as brilliant and undimmable lights. I breathe in the river air deeply. Is there any air as fresh, I wonder? And start all over again for the millionth time and turn my face towards the sun. I am made soft again.
Thank you, Lizzie, and thank you, Holly. I'm going to read as well and just invite all of us to the sort of parallel process here of seeing if we can let ourselves be reached by Holly's words in exactly the way that Holly writes about being unreachable and then being reachable. And maybe it's a moment to say that if you're listening and you want to see the sources, you can always find them in the podcast notes, but you can also find them on our website turningtowards.life, which is where you'll also be able to see Lizzie and I if you're a podcast listener. So Lizzie, if you want to, anyone wants to see you in your dishevelment from last week and in the glorious sunshine, one of the places to go is to go to turningtowards.life, and that's also where you can sign up for the emails, where you always get a picture of us every week. So, and you'll get this source emailed to you, as every source emailed to you as well, early on in the week, every week, if you want it that way. So this is called Soft Again. I'm determined not to let these bold feathery trees, with their fancy display of greens and wind blowing gently through their branches, pull me back from all the swirling thoughts in my head. And this sunshine will not thaw the brittleness of my heart in this moment. I am determined not to let its warmth slip through my defences and into my bones. I'm in a grumpy, ungenerous, grey-coloured mood, and I'm going to stay that way. The relentless push and liveliness of the river flowing past me will not gently pick up my worries and carry them downstream. I am determined, you see, to hold on to my position, to maintain this stuckness, to keep myself rooted right here. The clouds drifting above my head, combined with the blue of the wide sky, will not, I repeat, will not take any of my breath away. I'm going to sit here in this newly comfortable camping chair and hold on tight. I am not going to be moved or softened. I have every right to work with all my might against these bright forces that are trying to melt me, to reach me, to remind me and bring me home. Like the rock that stands still at the bend of the river, I will not be moved. But, oh dear, now my children are jumping off a rock into the silky water of the river. They're full of courage and delight, and they are letting out whoops of yes towards the water below them as they push themselves forward through the air, and my plan begins to crumble. With every whoop, my determination is less rock-like and more like the small branch that is being swept away downstream and around the next corner beyond which I cannot see. they've won again, all of them conspiring against me, the trees, the water, the clouds, the sun, and now the babies I gave birth to who sit at the center of my life as brilliant and undimmable lights. I breathe in the river air deeply. Is there any air as fresh, I wonder, and start all over again for the millionth time and turn my face towards the sun. I am made soft again.
Mm. Thanks, Justin. As you were reading, I was feeling the familiarity of my determination to not let things affect me, not let things reach me. And there's a little kind of smirk that comes across my face of like, oh yeah, someone can see, someone can see my kind of that moodiness of I'm entitled to this mood. Thank you very much. You can't, nothing is going to take this away from me. It feels very familiar to me. I had a day like that yesterday where I just, there was very little willingness to let things touch me. And of course, then I have a little gorgeous two, nearly 3 year old in my house who asks me to play Connect Four. And then I go, oh, you know, there's one place I just can't resist, which is her. But mostly yesterday was really miserable and uncomfortable and unenjoyable. And I was determined to stay that way. So I'm feeling really seen by Holly's words in the determination part, being determined to stay the way that I am. And there's some kind of indignation about my moods anyway, of like, no, this is what needs to be here. And maybe it does. And of course, at some point, this beginning again for the millionth time has to happen. And it's just a question of time, this softening. That of course doesn't mean everything's okay, but it's not so, I'm not so positional, I'm not so stuck in my place. So I'm really appreciating the way that she talks about the determination to not let life itself come and how we have the capacity to do that. You know, we have this talent as human beings to make decisions about our state. And of course, nature, as Holes is pointing out, and her gorgeous children are continually the invitation. You know, they don't have moods. The tree doesn't decide that it's not going to be present for us today, and the river doesn't stop flowing. And I'm really appreciating this way of saying how, you know, we could be sitting at the river and be completely consuming the river or something, like it's here for me and I'm going to play with it or whatever. And actually this is a softening so that these beauties in the world can reach us, like really reach us. And that's possible as well as human beings is very moving and for me, very, very inviting. And there's so many times, Justin, in turning towards life, I think, well, how does this carry into my day then? And I'm going to be walking along the river later with some of our people who are in our community with us. And this will be there, like this gets to be there. And I'm so grateful for that, this particular seed on this particular day being planted in me of be all over again for the millionth time, I will turn my face towards the sun and let where I am impact me, soften me, turn me into who I am today.
As I was listening to you, Lizzie, I was you reminded me, and you're talking about yesterday, of all the days. I know this too. You know, what Holly writes about is so familiar in my experience. And I wondered as I was listening to you and as I was hearing Holly's words, if I was wondering about the I in this, who the I is. So when I'm holding on really, really, really tightly to something, to some grumpiness and some ungenerosity and some, and it's usually some kind of fixedness. Who or what in me is it that's holding on? And, you know, there's a way in which there's something that, in the way that Holly writes this, that I really appreciated, that there is, sometimes there's a real, I really want to appreciate the parts of me that can really hold on to something, that can go in the face of everything that's around. That kind of capacity to go, no, I'm staying steadfast. Like, there might be some truth in the thing that I'm holding on to. There might be something to be angry about or frustrated about or to want to change, or maybe some hurt that needs protecting for a while, that's not ready to, it's not ready to burst open. And if you think about all of the structures in nature which contain and protect, like chrysalises and cocoons, and maybe one part of this is honoring that there's a kind of protecting something inside us that sometimes is really genuinely called for. I really wanted to honor that. And I suppose I wanted to say that because, you know, in a way it's been a dynamic in my own life, has been coming to appreciate my own capacity to hold on, my own capacity to be what other people might call stubborn, but sometimes is actually sort of a resolute taking a stand that's got some depth and some wisdom to it. So there's that. I wanted that. And then there's all the ways that maybe in addition to that, maybe in a way that sort of extends it in an uncalled for way or in a sometimes unhelpful way, there's the I'm going to hold on to this because I don't want to open myself to the vulnerability of really being touched by anything or anyone, or I don't want to admit that I was wrong. It's a big one for me. I'm feeling grumpy about something, and in order to let go of my grumpiness, I'm going to have to sort of face up to the fact that my grumpiness wasn't the only story and I wasn't completely right. And there are children jumping into the river, and there's, you know, and so the sort of the act of opening into something bigger and more generous and more inclusive, which I think is really what Holly's talking about here, always involves a certain amount of admitting that I didn't have the whole story. And then I've got to deal with all the parts of me that want me to be right and to be invulnerable and all of that. And so one way I hear Holly's words is those moments when we get reached despite ourselves, and we find ourselves softening, what a joy it is. But and also then to acknowledge that sometimes that takes an enormous amount of willingness to extend some kind of inner generosity to the parts of ourselves that feel the more that I hold on to something, the more there are parts of me that are ashamed at how much, you know, now I've held on for like 3 hours. It's even worse to let go. Like, can I really admit? Can I actually let this mood pass? So I think maybe I'm sort of working this out whilst I speak. Maybe part of the dynamic of holding on sometimes is necessary, and sometimes we hold on because it's painful and tender to do the letting go and to facing all the parts of ourselves that are going to feel ashamed or afraid or uncertain when we do let go. And that contributes to holding on sometimes way, 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 way longer than it's called for. It's probably why rivers and small people are really helpful. Because I think maybe one of the things that rivers and beautiful, alive small people have is they're really, really not at all concerned with whatever image we have or how we keep the image going in a way that I might be, that keeps me stuck.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I feel really moved by the way that you're talking. And I think what it is for me is a kind of safety where the way we can be for one another, like the way you can be for me, or I can be for you, or we can be for our families or whoever else is in our realms, a place to come back to once we have been grumpy for 3 hours, Like, I suddenly feel like so grateful for the people who let me freak out for however long and are still there and open to me in my coming back in the roomness. And how beautiful and important that is. Because of course it's so easy to go like, well, if you're in that mood, I've got something to say about that too, which happens plenty of the time, which is kind of what an argument is made of in our house anyway. And there are some times when for one another we can do that thing where we say, ah, there's a shenanigan going on here. I can see it. And I'm not going to dance the dance that the dancer might be inviting me. You know, the hand is out saying, come dance the tango with me. And I'm going to say, actually, I'm just going to like hold the dance floor so you can dance the dance, but I'm not going to do that with you. And as soon as you're up for that vulnerability that you talked about, Justin, or that opening or coming home again, I'm still right here. I'm just not dancing the dance. I'm just going to be present at the dance floor kind of thing. And it's so vulnerable coming back in the room again. You know, the feeling for me, like in my body, is like kind of my head, like you talked about shame. You know, you come back in the room again and it's like, oh goodness, I can kind of see now what was going on. And I couldn't see it then, but I really need to be welcome back, and I need that to feel safe. And in order for me to come back at all, there has to be some safety in letting go the parts of me that were very, very present back then, but they're not here right now. And I can see that they were here and that they are part of me. And I don't particularly like that, but I want to come home again. Can you welcome me? It's so vulnerable, my goodness. And walking back in the room again and admitting that I might not have seen the whole story, like you said, and also that there was maybe some validity to that, but there were lots of parts of it that were unhelpful and didn't really serve what I want in the world and who I want to be. And that you could be there to go, it's okay, you can come back again, I'm here. Like somehow in this moment, that's completely moving to me, that we can be that for one another. And that we don't kind of say, well, no, you can't come back because look what you were just like. You know, we're going to have to address that now, or we're going to like to not keep it going and to re-shame, but to say, come on back in. I know what that's like. And we don't need to, you know, to go over the coals or whatever the word is. You know, we don't need to rake it over. We can let that one go. Like, what a relief and how safe that is, that that's possible between one another. To be this sunshine and to be this river and to be this children jumping off a rock that, as you say, is not caught up with its own self-image, but it's also not caught up with mine either. Like you can probably detect when I'm maintaining some righteousness or some self-image in me. And you can put that down when it's time for safe making. You know, you can just say, oh no, I can see that. But I know who you are, and I know, and I feel who you are. And that's much bigger than whatever part just had a huge big dance around the dance floor. And we can just be safe together again.
Your way of speaking about it, it is reminding me how we're never in any of this alone, or rarely are we in this alone. And I have also so many times been the person where somebody I care about's been grumpy or withdrawn or something, and I've been the one who's so wanted them not to be that way, that my way of being with them has been to try and make them subtly, overtly or subtly, like, enough of this, you have to be different. And that is also what's also built into that that's so unhelpful, is there's a whole potential kind of shame dynamic, which is the one that you're pointing to, which is, if you're in this really holding on state and I'm desperate for you to be in another state, then it's sort of implied. And I've also, you know, also done this myself, which is when the person sort of finally, no, that's not the way I want to say it. When the time comes that a softening and an opening comes in the other person, it's really easy to sort of hold a grudge. Mm-hmm. How could you have been so stubborn and unmovable and grumpy and for the last 3 hours? Like you said, let's go over it. Let's analyze it. How dare you? And in me, I know that the feeling that it's not going to be safe to return. If we think about it, you talk about it in the way that you started giving it language as a sort of kind of return to contact and a return to openness from our place of holding on. When I know in me, when it doesn't feel safe to return, and I've already got enough parts of me that would like to shame me anyway for the way I've been, if I'm going to be shamed by other people, I'm going to stay right where I am. Thank you. So this sort of promise of what was coming to me was wondering what it is for us to be for one another, to be the river and to be Holly's children, is to be the ones who say, essentially who say, I see that you're in the middle of a thing. I understand it. And I may see that it's painful and unhelpful or all kinds of ways, but what I'm primarily going to do is to stand for a welcome of your return when it comes, and also a promise that when you return, I will welcome your return, because that's what I longed for anyway, and it's probably what you longed for anyway, with a deep forgiveness to one another for being human and for inevitably being this way. And so can we, that calls on us to, like, it seems to me that the river particularly here doesn't demand, it's not saying, you know, I'm looking at my watch, it's been 2.5 hours now, come on. The river just keeps on saying, I'm here, come, I'm here when you're ready, come. And then when we're ready, we get to return to the river. Can we be that? Stay in open-hearted invitation to one another as we move through joy and grief and rage and stubbornness and stuckness and confusion and whatever. Can we be the ones who are always welcoming of whatever is, but also welcoming of a possibility, without demanding it and without holding any kind of grudge or any kind of score to settle that you weren't the way that I wanted you to be, which is just another kind of fixedness. Mm-hmm. And then we have to, then what we get to do, just to pick up what you were saying about dancing, is we get to not force one another into various kind of dances, but be ready to dance with one another in the ways that are available to us. And I think this is probably a good way of thinking about grief, and it's a good way of thinking about confusion, and it's a good way of thinking about all kinds of things that come through us, that we can help one another to be ready when we're ready.
Yeah. Gosh. So I'm having a big experience in my body of like kind of an aching heart or something. I can feel a physical ache in me with the kind of longing that this is just what happens in the world. You know, and I feel so fortunate to say that this is something that does happen in my life, that I freak out and bonkers, and there's people waiting for me when I come home again, and they say hello, and they say, what was that like, and are you all right? And you know, I just am so grateful for that, and I'm just feeling very, very kind of awakened by how crucial that feels, you know, like you said, for the place that we return to be safe. Kind of takes my breath away, the importance of that, because I think we're just all quite bonkers lots of the time, really. I think having a personality and a body and a, you know, I think we're just all tending towards a bit of this bonkersness of losing contact with ourselves and our hearts and realness. And it really matters that there are places to return to, because it's inevitable. Like, this isn't like you can't stave this off, this going somewhere that isn't helpful or whatever. We can't avoid any of this. We can't avoid grief. We can't avoid distortion. We can't avoid jealousy and competition and whatever the kind of themes are. I mean, they have particularity for all of us, but we all have these distortions. We just do. And so the homecoming, once we've visited those places, feels so, so important that we cultivate that capacity to be safe and welcome for one another. So that there can be like islands of safety that we know will come up as we're being dragged down the river backwards all over the shop. There'll be islands of safety along the way that we can be for one another. And then those islands of safety seem to me like, it's like, if I know there's an island of safety, I can also feel the things that, and experience the things that I've been frightened of experiencing and feeling, because I know there's a place to come home to again. It kind of, they beget each other, the distortion and the welcome seem to work hand in hand with each other, that we will go far away and that we can come home. Like, that motion seems like really aligned with what life really is, all the rhythms of life. Like, I'm just thinking of labor again, you know, the kind of contraction and then the relaxation and then the, it feels like the more faith I have in the islands appearing, the islands of safety, like you could be an island of safety, the more faith I have in that being there, the more courage I might have to face into the darkness and the difficulty, because I know I can come home again. Whereas if I didn't know I could come home again, maybe I wouldn't have faith in those moments to actually feel what's calling to be felt or experience what's calling to be experienced. So I'm feeling really grateful that that's possible in human life, and also more accepting of that there will be distortion and there will be difficulty and there will be times where I go really far away from any kind of joy or sanity or groundedness, and that's really quite okay. And it's made even more okay because you're here, the islands are here, people are here who are safe and trustworthy, that I can feel relatively little shame with, as in, I think the shame is mine. And so I think it might always be there, but that it's okay to even feel ashamed in someone's presence. Feels like gold and like a sacred piece of being human.
And I'm left, Lizzie, as we come towards the end of this conversation, with this deep sense that it's what we're called to do, is to learn how to be islands of safety for one another. That's what we humans need. And that a big part of that is also learning how to create safety in ourselves. It's a sort of, they're not separate processes. We need to do it for one another, and we need to do it for ourselves. And it's not like one comes before or after the other. They're both deeply intertwined.
Yeah.
And if we find ourselves in places where we notice that there isn't safety being proffered to others, we can cultivate being those ones, but we can also seek out that in ourselves and the other people and the places that bring about that safety in us, so that we can then be safety for others. It's a cycle of reciprocity that I feel left feeling very alive to and opened by.
Mm. Thank you, Justin. I feel really, breathed into again by this conversation, and inspired and hopeful. I'm really, really grateful. And I want to appreciate how easy it is to be just genuinely here in this conversation. I'm really grateful for that. And as we go, I feel the deepening kind of happening, you know. And I'm really grateful for everybody participating, grateful for Holes. I think you're probably going to listen to this, Holly, and I know you listen at a different time than us going live. But when you listen, please know how grateful we are for your sparking off this particular conversation and probably 100 million other conversations with all of your poetry and all of the wonderfulness that you bring all over the world. And actually, if you're interested in more of Holly's poetry, you can find her on Instagram. Her Instagram thingamibob is Holly Holden Love, I think. So just search for Holly Holden Love. And that's probably the best way of finding all the links to the rest of the things that she does in the world. So thank you, Justin. Thank you, Holls. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we will see you next week again for a source, this time chosen by Justin.
Bye, everyone.